Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Trucking with Authority. This is the show to help you build a better trucking business. And for the next hour, consider me the navigator on that journey. We can talk about anything from getting started in the business as a company driver all the way up to pulling your first load as a motor carrier with your own authority. Everything from filing with the FMCSA, insurance requirements, contracts, load boards, brokers, negotiations, sales, marketing, factoring companies, growing a fleet, understanding your numbers and how to quote a load, setting up your business, forming a plan, being ready for disaster. All of these things I have covered over the past 32 episodes. Yes, this is the 32nd episode of Trucking with Authority. It's been an honor to be on for this long. And this show has always just the flow of the callers. And tonight, the show is about you. So press 1 if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. If you want to add your thoughts, add your experiences, the show is yours. I'm just the navigator. You are in the driver's seat here. So press 1, get in the queue. My lovely wife, Elizabeth, will screen the calls and get you on the air. No question is a bad question. There's always somebody else out there that needs the information. Asking it here is the best place to get it taken care of, find out the answers, and share with everyone else, and we can all learn together. I've already got a lot of callers lining up. Elizabeth's in there already screening calls. Again, press 1, and we will try to get you all on the air tonight. Yes, this is the 32nd show. I started back in September. The shows back then were an hour long, and I have been in front of this microphone many times thinking there's no way that I'll be able to do an hour-long show. But starting around December, the shows got longer and longer, and I do almost an hour and a half every Tuesday night. Of course, I'm out here on the road with the rest of you, so I can't be here every week. There's business that gets in the way, but whenever I can make it, I try to join you and answer your questions. Tonight, however, because this show, over 32 episodes, has taken a life of its own, I try to answer the questions and bring up the topics as they come to me. Tonight is a review of everything that I've done since the show has started. And I'll try to put a little bit of order to how things should go. I recommend you all go back and check out our Facebook page, Trucking with Authority, the Facebook group. You can ask a lot of your questions there. Also, find past episodes at letstruck.com. All of the episodes are there. You can also find us directly from the source on blogtalkradio.com/truckingauthority. All 32 episodes can be found listed in order. Sometimes it takes a little while for those to be uploaded into the other systems, but that is the source. And if you really want to go back and listen, and I was just looking at the statistics, there have been thousands and thousands of listenings to the recording, and I'm humbled by that. So thank you all for the support. Okay, already have questions popping up, but I want to get started with episode 30. This is only episode 32, but we should start the story with episode 30, and that is deciding if you are ready to get into the business. And this should be if you are deciding to become a business owner, and that includes if you're going to make the leap from a company driver to an owner-operator. From an owner-operator to a motor carrier is another jump. Are you ready to make the jump? And what you need to decide is your personal place in life, at home? Are you physically, emotionally ready for the jump? Because it can be draining. Family ready for that? Owning a business is nothing like just being a company driver. Once you decide that you're personally ready, the next question is, are you financially ready? Do you have the funds available to support yourself during this transition? It can be an expensive endeavor to get started. So many folks go out and buy a truck and they are blown away right from the very beginning when they register the truck and just find out how many expenses are there for registration and tax, title, tag, all of the above, just to get the truck legal. And that doesn't include any of the expenses for operating or for registration of the company. That's just the truck itself. So that you have to look at all of that and decide if you are ready. And of course, as that process goes on, you will need to form a plan. Do the research and figure out what you need to do to make this happen. You need to understand the business. I'll refer you to episodes 17 and 18. If we're just talking about specifics to the business, episode 17 was about how IFTA works, how to buy fuel in different states, how to maximize your savings and optimize your fuel usage. That could be hundreds of dollars on your bottom line each month just from purchasing fuel properly. Do you understand how that works? Check out episode 17 if you don't. Episode 17, I remember recording that one, and it was actually one of those where I sat there at 7 o'clock thinking, there's no way I'll be able to do an hour show with just this topic. And so I lumped in fuel surcharge along with that one. Fuel surcharge is another very misunderstood topic. An hour and a half later, I didn't even get to fuel surcharge. So check out episode 18, which just talks about fuel surcharge. You need to understand how that applies to spot market loads, because it does affect the rates. The cost of fuel is part of your rate in spot market single one-time loads. You also need to understand, however, contract rates and how fuel surcharge needs to be worked in. Now, we already have a question about IFTA, so I think this is a good place to take that one. John in New Mexico, thanks for calling. And we have delay on the switchboard here. John, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call today, Kenny.
Thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Well, I have two questions. The first one is about IFTA. And I just recently signed on with a new company, and he gave me a pretty awesome deal percentage-wise, but I pretty much have to do everything on my own. I just realized today, I didn't file last quarter's IFTA yet. When is the cutoff? When do I have to have it filed by?
Okay. You have 30 days from the end of the quarter to file. So your January, February, and March quarter should have been filed by April 30th. After April 30th.
I wasn't signed on with him then, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And
April, May, June has to be done by the end of this month, so I'm still good.
Exactly. April, May, June by the end of July. Yes. Now, if you go beyond that date, you still have to file, of course, but there's a late filing fee, and every state may have their own fees. You'll have to pay, interest charges. You'll have just a flat fee for a late filing fee, and so forth. But it, to be on time, has to be done by the end of the month following the quarter for which it was reporting.
Okay, so I've got time on that, so I'm good there. My
yep.
second question was about trip permits in New Mexico. I go through New Mexico, it seems, once or twice a month, and kind of expensive to pay these trip permits going across. Is it substantially less expensive to get my carrier to do the permit through them?
Yeah. Yes. Now, the mileage rate is the same either way, but it's only a $6, I think it's $5.95, $6 to register your truck and then just file quarterly. So when you have your IFTA numbers, they can file along with that. So it's the same cost either way? I believe the mileage rate that you pay in New Mexico is the same. However, for each permit that you pull, each time you cross, you have to pay a fee for that service. So you're paying that fee for every single time you cross, whereas you just pay a $6 registration fee, the carrier will, and then you can just pay your mileage rate quarterly. It's a much easier system, and it will save you some money.
Okay, excellent. Well, those are two easy answers. Thank you.
No problem, and thank you for the call. We have some other callers already on the line. Go ahead and press 1, and we will get you on the air tonight. Continue on here, because some of the questions are popping up in the order of how I've got things laid out tonight. But any question, it doesn't have to be about any topic I've covered in the past. If you've got anything you'd like to add, go ahead and press 1 and we'll get in the queue. So doing the research, knowing the business, understanding IFTA, fuel surcharge, knowing contracts is extremely important, extremely, because everything will come down to what's in writing. Now, understanding how the business works with the bill of lading, because that is almost the master agreement. That there are no contracts necessary for a carrier to haul a load, because the bill of lading covers all of it. A standard uniform bill of lading cover all of the issues that arise, because there is a code that all carriers follow. And that code is 49 United States Code, USC. And that regulates all of the FMCSA. Everything you need to know is in there. Now, brokers, factoring companies, carriers, if you are a lease purchase or lease, you're buying a truck and leasing it to a company, they will have you sign contracts that override the federal regulations. Yes, it's legal to do that. They can add to. They can be more restrictive. Of course, they can't be less restrictive, because those rules are there for a reason, for protection for us in the industry as well as the public, but they can be more restrictive in these contracts, and you need to understand how those contracts work. I'll refer you back to episode 25 for that one. I talked all about how contracts, broker-carrier agreements worked, and I want to refer you mainly what you'll get, and you'll probably hear this in most of the episodes that I've done before, is Hank Seaton. Henry Seaton is an attorney who works closely with NASDIC, and his website, transportationlaw.net. I recommend anybody and everybody that's in this business checks out that website. There is hours of free information available, PowerPoint presentations, articles, links to other resources, hours of free stuff to check out. Everybody needs to look at that. In addition, there is a book written by Henry Seaton himself, and actually there are a couple of editions, but it's Protecting Motor Carriers' Interest in Contracts. It's about $20 for that book. I recommend, if you are getting into this business, you get that book and you read it cover to cover and keep that handy. There are sample forms in there, sample contracts, and it will list for lease agreements, for broker-carrier agreements, for factoring company agreements. It will list the red flag items that you need to look out for. There are times when a contract may be so bad and so favoring the other company and leaving so many liabilities to you that no matter how great the load that you are contemplating taking is, it's best to walk away, because those contracts can literally make it so that you won't get paid. And that's really why we're out here. We want to get paid for the work that we do. All of the different avenues that we have are different ways to get paid. Know the business. Once you know the business, you need to set some goals. Setting goals is a huge part of how you grow your business. If you don't know where you're going, you'll never get there. There's a lot of information about how to set goals. Kevin Rutherford does an entire portion of the CMC just on goal setting alone. But there's more than just personal goals and putting those goals in writing. There's a lot more to it when you're putting it into a business. And I'll refer you to episode 29 on this one. And this is how to write a business plan. Put your goals in writing. Detail everything that you want to do with your business. Detail how you will start. Detail how you will find your customers. The work that you will do. You've done the research at this point. You should understand the business enough to understand what you will do and the service that you will provide. At this point, you should probably understand what you can do to set yourself, that you can get yourself into and provide to your potential customers. Put all of that in writing. Your business plan, in some cases, if you're just getting started, may be 100 pages long. Yes, that sounds like a lot, but there are so many details that can go into a business like this. Most of us, and myself included, when I first got started, I didn't know about a business plan. I didn't understand the concept. But when I say that a business plan could be 100 pages long, told me that 10 years ago, I would have said, what in the world can I put 100 pages, you know, in writing? I'm getting in a truck. I'm taking a load from point A to point B. Well, guess what? There are a lot of details that you should cover. You should have a plan for. Having a plan and having goals and how you will get there is the best way to secure a successful business and not fail. What is that saying? Failure to plan is planning to fail. So that's where you should start. Form a plan. Next, you need to incorporate in that plan how to prepare for the worst. What happens when your truck breaks down? What happens when there's a fire on I-5 in California? The roads are shut down. Or even worse, you're stranded there in a dangerous situation. What if it's January and you're on top of a mountain pass somewhere and you're snowed in and you get stuck there for days at a time? Prepare for that. Now, some of these things, of course, may not need to go in your business plan, but these need to be things that you think about. Will you have supplies and tools and so forth on hand in the truck to be able to weather the storm, no pun intended? Now, those are things that a good business owner needs to be aware of, because if you are stranded somewhere, what will your customer think? Now, granted, you may be a couple of days late, but they will certainly appreciate a late delivery rather than getting a phone call and say that their product has rolled down the side of a mountain and the driver didn't make it. The business is out of business now. They didn't have a plan. They tried to push through when they shouldn't have done it because they didn't have a plan. With that, I want to refer you back all the way back to episode 16, being prepared for the disaster. Now, with that, not just the little things about having tools and food and so forth in your truck, but be financially ready. Before you get started in business, you should have 3 to 6 months worth of expenses saved. If you did not collect a paycheck for 3 to 6 months, could you get by? Most cannot. The trucking business is a situation where you can generate income quickly. It's one of the few businesses where you can get into it, buy a brand new truck, $150,000+ worth of equipment with a truck and trailer. Somebody will hand you the keys with no money down, no money in the bank, and you have a brand new piece of equipment. A lease purchase would put you in that situation. Is it wise to get into a situation like that? If you do, are you ready? And this needs to all go back to step one of deciding, are you ready? So you've got a plan in place. Now, are you ready to take the leap? Before you do that, you need to determine your numbers. Check out episode 28 for that. How would you quote a load? If you've got everything in place, you're ready to go, how do you quote the load? The first step in quoting a load is knowing where you are, knowing your own numbers. Get yourself an accounting program. Profit Gauges is great. If you are an owner-operator leased to a company, even a small fleet leased to a company, multiple trucks, an accounting program like Profit Gauges works wonders. It's fantastic. And I know Aaron is working on adding some capabilities to it, but right now it's not capable of doing things such as invoicing. Until he gets that figured out, I will highly recommend QuickBooks. QuickBooks is generic, it's not specific to the trucking industry, but QuickBooks is a great program that will help you immensely in keeping track of all of your numbers. It will help you with payroll situations, if you have employees, or if you're incorporated and you have to put yourself on payroll. It will help you with invoicing. It will help you track all of your truck and office expenses. And I will recommend also that you set that up similar to the same way Profit Gauges is set up. You can get the 21 file folder. You can put all of your categories in QuickBooks the same way. And understand your numbers and your cost. Now, if you're starting a brand new business, you might not understand what your fuel mileage is and so forth, but you can get some pretty good ideas on that doing some research. But also, if you are currently a company driver, or if you're an owner-operator and thinking of making the leap to carrier, where you will actually have to bid your rates on your own for the first time, you should have a good idea of what your truck expenses are. Maintenance costs, fuel mileage, and so forth. Episode 28 will help you understand how to bid a lane, starting with what your numbers are. Folks think that just because the market is what it is, that sets your rates, and that's very, very incorrect. The market, supply and demand, does have a factor in what you can demand, but it does not have a factor in what you need to make. If the market won't support what you need to make to survive, you will go out of business. Bottom line, you have to know your numbers and understand what it takes to be profitable, or you will go under. If you don't know those numbers and you think you'll go out here and just start pulling loads and see what happens, you might be setting yourself up for failure, and you'll be in for a rude awakening when you see that ends are not going to meet. So, once you form a plan, put your numbers in order and know what you need to make. This should all be a part of your business plan, actually. You should have a basic fundamental list of what your rates and your breakdown of rates should be and your projections in your business plan. Next step, you haven't even started yet. Marketing and branding. I understand that many people will just put the name on the side of the truck and go haul freight. Many people also go out of business in this industry. Set yourself apart. Before you even get started, be creative. Put together a logo, a creative name. First impressions are everything. The first time you contact a customer, that's how they will remember you. Do you want them to remember you by having a great logo, a well-formatted invoice, bill of lading, a structured system in place because you've already done this? Or your first impression with your first customer is going to be a handwritten receipt on a piece of notebook paper, a dirty napkin you get off the floor? Have that stuff in place. That matters. It absolutely matters from day one. It will make a difference. And as your business grows, that can evolve. But start there, because first impressions are everything. Episode 27, titled First Impressions. Also, along with marketing and branding, check out episode 21. I talk a lot in detail about how you can market and grow your business. The next step, if you're getting to your own authority, becoming your own carrier, you've got a plan now. You know your numbers. You've got your business structured. You've got a little bit of a marketing gimmick put together. You have something to sell. Now, get yourself licensed properly, which first will be, if part of your business plan is to incorporate or LLC, take care of that first. Next step is to go to the FMCSA. Now, this is where most people start. I've been on the show now for already half an hour. I've talked about all of the other things you should do first. The show is half over, and I'm just now getting to the place where most people start. FMCSA.dot.gov. That's where you will get started. Now, I went over this step by step, the process for getting your own authority. Literally, step by step. And I did this twice. The very first show back in September of 2014. Episode 1. Step by step process, going to the FMCSA.dot.gov, finding your MCS 150 and filling that form out. You can do all of this online. That will get you your US DOT number. That is a free process to get your US DOT number. The second step is to fill out your OP1 form. Again, can be done online. It is $300 to fill out that form. That will get you your MC number or your operating authority, your authority to conduct interstate, crossing state lines, carry freight, interstate. That's what you need. The $300 form, episode number one, and also I rebooted at the beginning of 2015. Episode 14 is Getting Started with the FMCSA. Both of those programs, both of those episodes, are step-by-step instructions on how to fill out the form and get started as a motor carrier with the FMCSA. Become legally a motor carrier. Next, you need to book your first load. You're ready to go. You filed with the FMCSA. There are also some individual states that you need to file with as well. I cover that on those episodes. But you're registered. You'll have your IRP tag. You'll have your IFTA stickers. The name is on the side of the truck. All of that is covered in those episodes. But now you are ready to haul your first load. What do you do? Most people at this point turn to the nearest load board. I'll throw out a couple of recommendations on load boards. I will start with DAT. DAT is Kevin Rutherford's industry solution partners, ISPs. check out DAT. They have a variety of services. If you're a member of OIDA, you get $5 a month off. You get 30 days free. It's about $35 or $39 without the OIDA discount for the most basic version of what the OIDA version is. Member's Edge or Trucker's Edge is the standard version. Trucker's Edge at $39 is one of the most useful load boards. You can upgrade from there. Most find the $49 version to be the most useful. That's probably where most of their clients are. You can go beyond that all the way upwards of $600-$700. But the list of loads is one small portion of what you need a load board for. What you really are looking for is the behind-the-scenes information, broker information, load-to-truck ratios, inbound and outbound ratios, trends. You'll hear Rico tomorrow talk about the trend lines. You'll hear average rates. All of these things are information that can be harvested from these load board subscriptions. Another one that I recommend is Internet Truck Stop. Between DAT and Internet Truck Stop, those are the two biggest out there. I find both of those useful. There's others such as GetLoaded.com and 123 Load Board. All of the brokers have in-house, all of the major brokers, I should say, have in-house load boards. When you sign on with the major brokers, you should make sure that you get access to their in-house load boards, because oftentimes they will post there and not post on the more public load board. So if you are running solely off of broker freight and load board freight, have access to those load boards as well. Now, that's load boards, and that's where most people turn. If you've been out there on the roads the past few weeks, you'll see that rates are way, way down. They've been at a plateau, I would say, since the beginning of the year. They've kind of leveled out. Last year were record-setting rates, and that's when everybody was going out and getting their authority. That's what kicked off the beginning of this show. I understand that. That's why I did that show about being prepared, and that's why I'm bringing it up again. Rates are down now, especially right now in July. For a lot of reasons, industries are retooling right now, getting ready for new products to come out. As we go into the third and fourth quarter, things will level out and rates will start coming back up. But right now, a lot of people are living off of savings. That is the trend right now. That's July is typically the slow month, but you should be prepared for that. Now, with that, I will say that if you had a contract with a direct customer, an annual or quarterly contract, you might be safe from this little dip in rates right now. You may have protected yourself. So load boards are great, and there's certainly nothing wrong with working with brokers and working off of load boards. There is an entire industry based on that. However, direct customers offer a lot of security. Over the 32 episodes I've done, on every one of them, I've probably mentioned building relationships. If you're working directly with a customer, you can have solid relationships and become the go-to person for the load when they need you. And we do have a lot of callers on tonight. This is a review show, and I know there are a lot of questions. Let's not wait until the end of the show to get the questions out there. I don't want to have to cut anyone off tonight. And that's typically how we end up going overtime, is we get the questions at the last few minutes, and I hate cutting people off. But tonight, I will be closing down tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 at the top of the hour. So if you have questions, throw them out there now. Go ahead and press 1, and we'll get you in the queue. I have one question that I'm going to go ahead and get to right now. He's been on hold for a while. Tom in Idaho. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Kenny? Thanks for taking my call.
Great. How can I help you?
Well, I'm up here in Idaho. I'm based out of Iowa, but anyway, seeing a lot of freight up here going in and out of Oregon. And
Yes.
how do you do it? How do you get into and out of Oregon? I called them yesterday and they explained to me how pretty much everything has to be done via fax. I mean, I have to set up my routes, got to set up my miles, everything via fax. Unfortunately, and they will not do like PDF, like, you know, those types of documents that you can do over email. I don't have access to a fax machine in this truck. You know, that, and I'm, you know, so I'm somewhat intimidated by Oregon, even though I see all this good freight, and I see good freight coming off Idaho going into Washington, which means I got to cut across Oregon.
Right.
And so basically what I'm doing is I'm putting the flag up, help. What would I do in
Well,
this situation?
I love going to Oregon. I live all the way down here in Florida. Oregon to me is probably the one of the most beautiful states in the country. Elizabeth and I are considering even moving out there at some point, but I am with you. Going there is a pain because of the way that they have that weight tax deal. It's a real nightmare, especially if you don't go out there often. Now, where are you based out of?
Okay, I'm based out of Iowa. I live over there in Davenport, Iowa. And I mean, I used to go to Oregon when I was leased out to a carrier. But however, you know, they took care of everything. I mean, you know, I didn't have to. You know, it was all I had to do was show the permit when I got there. But now that I've run under my own numbers, you know, that now this problem or whatever you want to call it falls on my shoulders.
Right.
And
Okay.
this is where the dilemma's at.
I don't know who you talk to, and I'm not sure exactly how you want to go about it right now, but there's a couple of ways you can go into the state. First is you can pull the trip permit. I actually just did this last week for one of my trucks. And you do not need to do it by fax. You could do this all over the phone, if you're just doing a trip permit. Call them again, tell them you need a trip permit, and you can do this 5 times within a year. And that's not in the calendar year. That's if you do one today, July 21st next year is 1 year. Okay, so you have 1 year. You can pull 5 permits. Now, let's say you go, you know, across I-84 into Portland, and you deliver your load, and then you book another load out of there, and it, somehow you get rerouted. If you call them up and ask to change your permit, you can't change it. You have to get another one. So that's 2 out of your 5 right there. So what I would recommend is have your trip in and out planned before you go there. Now you can call them and do a
Okay.
trip permit. I believe it's I wish I had had it in front of me. Like I said, I just pulled it last week. It's about 16 cents a mile. Basically, you're paying the tax up front, and I believe it's about a $9 fee just to pull the permit. 16 cents a mile in the state, though. Of course, there's no IFTA, so it kind of balances out. You can tell the representative over the phone your route, and they will put it into the computer. They will set up your account. Nothing needs to be faxed. But they will have to fax you the form. Or if you have a way that you can print it in your truck, they might be able to email it to you. But you have to have a printed out copy of it before you go into the state. It cannot be electronic. You can't have an email to show the officer there. So you will have to have some way to fax in your truck. If you don't have a way to do it in your truck, I would recommend checking out some of the electronic programs like eFax, or I use RingCentral, and those will give you a fax number that it will fax it to your email, and you can turn around and you can fax stuff back right from your email. It's very handy to have on the road. And then you can, of course, print it
Okay,
all out
wait.
in your truck. You have to have that.
What was that other one besides eFax you said? Ring Central?
RingCentral is what I use. And if you
Okay.
just go to Google and you type in electronic or online fax, there are dozens of companies that do it. But those are two of the popular ones. Now, that's an easy way to do it. Again, you can do that 5 times a year. All right? Now, if you plan on going there more than 5 times in a year, you'll have to put down a bond. And they want a $2,000 bond, and there are different options on how you can go about that. You can finance it, or there's other ways to handle the bond. The first year, you have to file your tax return in the state of Oregon every single month. And that's why I say if you're not going there more than 5 times, I would recommend you just pull those 5 permits. It's a lot less headache. But if you go there often, it's easier, of course, put the bond down and file monthly. After the first year, if you filed monthly on time, they will waive that monthly restriction and you can file quarterly, just like with the other states that you have to file in, and you can just file when you do your IFTA. It is a pain in the rear end, but I'll tell you, it's, Oregon is worth it. So that's how you go about it. Now, most of their stuff is done through their trucking website, OregonTruckingOnline.com. Almost all of their forms and fees and everything, and all of it can be done through that website, OregonTruckingOnline.com.
Okay. Yeah, now what the person also explained to me is this time next year, they said they're going to be phasing out all trip permits, that everybody's going to have to be paying the $8 a year, whatever it is, for your annual, which means everybody's going to be putting up that $2,000 bond.
I've heard
this is supposed to be coming about.
They are experimenting up there with a few things. They're actually trying to get a system where the cars are on a mileage basis, pay-as-you-go system. So they're experimenting. I know they are going to make some changes. I don't know what those changes will be until they put out the official information on that.
Okay.
All right.
I really appreciate it.
No problem. I do suspect that it will be, everybody will have to be on that system. Now, I don't know how they will work the bond, because the reason most people do the permits is that there's no sense in putting up a $2,000 bond if you're only going there one time. So I'm sure they will have some type of an exemption or way to work that. In the meantime, we'll wait and see what they have to say about it.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Tom.
Kenny, I really...
Sorry, Tom, I didn't mean to cut you off, but we're having a little bit of delays on the switchboard here tonight. So I hit the button and it cuts people off halfway through a sentence. So. Now, where was I? FMCSA, you've filed. You've got your authority now. You're booking your first load, working with load boards, and dealing with direct customers. Direct customers, episode 23. I talk a lot about how you can find direct customers, be it through load boards or systems such as Manta or Manufacturers News. There's even ways to reverse engineer some load board postings and find the customer directly. I discuss that in quite a bit of detail on episode 23. And that leaves brokers. Now, brokers are where most people that are getting started in the business work. Talked about that on episode 22. Now, brokers especially are where you really need to pay attention to those contracts. I'll bring that up again because it's extremely important. Again, episode 25, I talked about contracts. And Hank Seaton's book, TransportationLaw.net, check that out. These contracts are extremely important. And since I've been doing the shows on contracts over the past few weeks, I've had more and more questions about it and more people coming to me saying, oh, wow, I never really read that and saw it that way before. And now I start to see how they're taking advantage of us. Read those contracts. There are so many brokers right now. The small mom and pop shops are notorious for doing a copy paste from what they might find on some other broker contracts. Most of them don't even know what they're doing. They don't know what they're copying and pasting. You need to read them because you don't want their sloppy copy-paste job to ruin your life and drive you out of business over one little mistake. You never know what could happen. So simply read it. If you agree with it, sign it. If you don't, question them, negotiate the contract, make changes if you need to, and then sign it. But the broker carrier agreements are probably the number one place where contract and understanding the contract wording comes in. Now, with working with brokers on episode 22, I will tell you how to negotiate. And let me bring up three books on negotiation. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Everybody should read that book. I don't care if you're running a business or not. And this isn't specific to people on this call. Everybody should read that book. That should be a requirement to graduate high school. Everybody should read that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. It's not specifically about sales. It's not specifically about marketing. It's how to get through life, how to work with people, how to talk to people. The ideas and concepts in that book are reflected in nearly every sales book I've read since. Everything. That is the basic principle of life right there, of communication and working with people. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. By far on top of my list of number one books to read. So check that one out. Now, getting a little more specific to sales and negotiation. Getting to Yes by William Ury. That's a little bit more of a tactical book and how to get people, and I got a message from one of the listeners, Dwayne, said the Bond Mountain, Oregon is actually dependent upon the number of trucks you have. So, again, Oregon Trucking Online is the resource to find out more information on that. Getting to Yes by William Ury. Getting Past No, also by William Ury. Those are three of the most important books that you can read for any sales job, including trucking, but any sales job. And they're more about how to talk to people, not so much about tactic, but how to properly communicate. So those three, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, and then the two books by William Ury, Getting to Yes, and the other is Getting Past No. Now, I'll throw out a fourth book that is more tactics, and that is Negotiate to Win by Jim Thomas. The 21 Rules for Successful Negotiation. That one is tactics. That is how to manipulate the situation into convincing someone use your services or buy your product. Your product, your service is trucking. How do you convince them and tactically just talk them into using your product? Negotiate to Win by Jim Thomas. Those four books. If you read those four in that order, you will be leaps and bounds ahead of most people in this industry. Now, and I've mentioned that again back on episodes 27 and 21 when I talk about negotiations and sales and marketing, all of that is a part of that whole process. Now, when you're working with these brokers or you're working with finding a direct customer, Kevin Rutherford has often said, go to a direct customer and say, give me your worst lane. That's how you get your foot in the door. Give me your problem and let me solve it. And that's a good tactic. But how can you do that? How can you set yourself apart? The way that you do that is to find a niche. And I talk about that in episode 26. And that is be resourceful. So be a problem solver. That's one of the ways to make yourself stand out. And maybe you are just a commodity, but how do you get the customer to remember you? Do something that nobody else will do. And on the show, I remember we brought up a story about Elizabeth and I were on a load that required a forklift, couldn't be there until the next day. The customer was upset they weren't getting their product. And so we made arrangements, and we rented a forklift and brought it to the job site, unloaded the truck, got the customer their product, and did what the broker couldn't do, did what the customer wasn't prepared to do. We set ourselves apart. And that is more than most will try to do. A few other ideas might be on a load that is a pallet exchange load. We had one of these. Most trucks don't carry pallets with them. Let's be honest. Figure out where you can get the pallets. Figure out how to solve that problem. How about a logistics load? We need 150 blankets and 100 straps and 26 load bars. We have a load like that set up for next week. Find them. If you can't carry them with you, figure out where you can get them. Most people won't take the effort, but if you do, it will pay off. One of the highest paying loads coming out of the Northwest right now is a logistics load. You can't get it covered because there's no logistics in the area. Find them. We did. It can be done. Set yourself apart. Episode 26. So, you learn how to negotiate. You've talked to direct customers, a lot of direct customers, potential customers. Probably heard a lot of no's. And now you've got your first load. Yes. You got a yes. Whether it's a direct customer or a broker. You haul the load. The next problem that most people have is how to get paid. I've already discussed having an accounting program or solution for your accounting in place. It could be handwritten. But I would recommend, again, a QuickBooks type program. Others out there, such as Trucking Office. I'm trying out a few new ones myself. But one of the big ones that everybody turns to, and I've had this comment many times, is what factoring company should I sign up with? I need a factoring company now. I got started as a motor carrier. Now I need a factoring company. Or the factoring company will call you and say, you need us. We do this for you. You need us. You can't conduct business without this. There are pros and cons to factoring. Pros are, you get your money faster. Cons, it's extremely, extremely expensive. Now, I've gone back and forth about this. I'm in a situation now where I some of you that listen to me often will call me a hypocrite. I am about to sign a contract with a factoring company. Don't do it. If you are a one-truck operation just getting started, you do not need it. There are other options. First of all, I already mentioned, you should have 3 to 6 months worth of expenses saved up before you get started. You should be able to weather that storm. Most customers will pay. In fact, my direct customers, and one of the things about working with brokers, an excuse I hear about people that don't want to solicit to direct customers is they think brokers will pay faster, or they have quick pay options and so forth. All of my direct customers pay me COD. I deliver the load, they cut a check. I talked about that in that episode on direct customers. There are times I actually had to ask them to please hold on until I send you an invoice because you're getting ahead of my bookkeeping and it's getting frustrating for me. So direct customers can pay quickly. Brokers have quick pay options that are typically less expensive than buying or selling your receivables to a factoring company. Now, keep in mind, factoring is not an advance on your money. You are selling your receivables. Your receivables are an asset, and you are selling them for less than they are worth. You are selling them for a discount. That in mind. Now, some of the benefits to it, and the reason that I'm considering it, is I'm a growing fleet. I'm adding more trucks here over the next few months. Having that money a little sooner and and when you have multiple trucks, the bookkeeping is a little bit more difficult. Done the numbers. I know the numbers. If I can have that much of the money that much sooner, it will allow me to add another truck that much sooner and offset the cost of the factoring fees. And the other services that the factoring company provides will help offset the fees involved. But a one truck operation should be able to cash flow itself. Two trucks should be able to cash flow themselves. And it's not until you get into a growth situation should you consider factoring. And I talk a lot about that on the factoring episode. And we happens every time we have calls starting to stack up already. I may not be able to get to all of you, but we will go to Steve in Nevada. Steve, welcome to the show. Steve, are you with us?
Oh.
Steve, we can hear
you.
Are
you there?
Yes.
Oh, hi, my name's Keith.
You're on here.
Not Steve. Okay, my question is, I'm planning on buying a truck by the time the CMC comes next year. And my question is, after I own a truck and I have the truck in my possession, how much money am I going to need to have to do all those other things that you were talking about, like the $300 and so on and so forth? How much money is it going to take me to get going?
Okay. And I covered this back on episode 1 and episode 14, but this is getting started. The fee to get your authority is $300. You'll also have to file with the UCR, Unified Carrier Registration. That is $76 for a one-truck operation. Okay?
Okay.
You'll have to file with the state of New York, Kentucky, New Mexico, and we had just talked about the state of Oregon. Now, those have individual fees. They're usually less than $25 for each of the three, New York, Kentucky, and New Mexico, about $25 each, including the stickers and things. And Oregon is a completely different animal, so we won't get too far into that right now.
Okay.
The biggest expense you'll have is insurance. And as you get closer, you should contact your insurance company and get a preliminary quote and see what you'll need. Most will want 25 to 30% down, and they will give you substantial discounts if you can afford to pay the entire year's worth up front. Expect your first year. Are you out of Nevada? Are you based out of Nevada?
Right now I'm in California, but that might change as well.
Okay, California is one of the more expensive states. I would expect your first year insurance, and not knowing your previous driving history or anything, I would expect your first year to be in the neighborhood of $12,000 to $15,000. And it could certainly be more if you have any kind of blemishes on your record. Expect to have at least a third of that down. So somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe $3,000 to $4,000 down for just insurance. And I might be off the mark on that, but that's what I would plan for. And hope for better.
One more question. Go ahead.
And I was just gonna add, your IRP tag right now is in the neighborhood of and out of California will probably be in the neighborhood of about $2,200 for your first year. Because we are now in the full reciprocity plan. So you'll have every state and every province in Canada on your tag. So expect to have about I would say $2,500 to be safe, just for your IRP tech. So, okay. Looking at, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $5,000 to $7,000 just in fees up front.
Okay.
You know, to get started, and that doesn't include your operating expenses.
Is there any bonding necessary, or is that covered with insurance?
That will all be covered with your insurance. You will need at least a minimum of $750,000 of physical liability, automotive insurance, and there's no requirement for cargo insurance, but most brokers and customers will require at least $100,000. So,
okay,
and all that will be part of your insurance bond.
My last question is then, if that's the case, and that might seem a little steep in my first year after I purchase a truck, if I sign with a lease to a company, then they cover those expenses? Is that right?
They can. Now, if you lease to a company, they will likely buy the plate for you, and you will have to reimburse them for it. So they'll take a payment. Now, they should cover your insurance costs, because you're leasing to the carrier. The carrier should cover your insurance. You'll have to pay for bobtail insurance, which is basically if you're not under dispatch by the company, you're still protected. That's usually in the neighborhood of $1,500 to $2,000 a year, and that covers just any damage, you know, to your truck. And you can be hooked to their trailer. They call it bobtail insurance, but it's if you're not being dispatched. In other words, you deliver your load and you decide to, you know, drive down the street and get lunch. Well, if you get in an accident in that time, it'll go on against your bobtail or non-trucking liability, it's called. So you'll need that.
Okay.
But
now, one more question.
The carrier will be a big backing, you know, financial help to you in that.
Okay. And I realize that all of those things are negotiable when you work with a carrier. Is there a percentage of profit or the fee or the profit of this truck? Is there a standard deal where there's a percentage, they get what percentage and you get the other percentage, or is everything just completely up in the air and negotiable?
Everything is in the air and negotiable, and everybody has their own contracts and way they do it. Now, if you take a company such as Landstar. Now, if you have a tractor, power only, I know their contracts are, and don't quote me to this, but they're about 67% of the gross. Now,
okay.
Some folks might say that that's a lot, but they have a lot of freight. They also, now, if you're pulling their trailers, for every, granted, they charge you about 7% for their trailer. So if you buy your own trailer, you'll get an additional 7% on top of that. And I'm already off on my numbers. I think it's actually 64%, not 67.
It's ballpark. That's fine.
Ballpark. Now, you'll get that 7% for the trailer. But remember, if you're with a big fleet like Landstar, they have, I think it's 2.7 or something, roughly three trailers for every tractor. So, yeah, it's 7% that you're paying for that trailer, but you have access to that huge pool of trailers. So they provide that for you for that money. They also have agents in every city, in every state, which are out there finding freight for you. Now, that's something that is difficult. Now, their rates might be, you know, higher or lower, and it depends. Now, 60% of zero is still zero, so it depends. Now, if somebody's got a contract that says you get 90%, what is that 90% of? The other thing you have to look at is what will you be backcharged for? Some carriers will backcharge for their portion of the insurance, or for their liability and cargo insurance. They will backcharge the truck for that. You'll be backcharged for plates. Some carriers will cover the tags and IFTA and all that stuff. Mercer, for example, will cover the IFTA tag. So you don't have to worry about where you buy your fuel. Buy it in the cheapest place where it says on the sign. That's the best price because they cover the difference on the tax. So each contract is different, and the percentage is different, but it's a percentage of what that matters. And you have to be careful, and I did talk about this on one of the programs where I talked about leasing carriers, and that was growing your fleet. And back on episode 19, it might be something that you consider listening to. And my last show just last week was about leasing on owner operators. But companies that do a 90% of the gross type of a deal often have back charges of a lot of things that somebody that might have an 80% of the gross covers in their contract. And other things to look for is a truck leased to a carrier needs to be, the settlement needs to be cut every 15 days. They cannot go more than 15 days from the time that you turn in your paperwork. Oftentimes these 90% contracts will push that out as far as, you know, 30, 45 days, or a deal where we'll pay you when we get paid. You're just running like you're under your own numbers, but we're just letting you use ours. Well, that's a lot of risk that the carrier is taking, and they're putting it on your shoulders, and they're trying to cut some corners with the way the rules are. So you have to look at these contracts. Like I said, with any contract, they can add to the federal regulations, but they can't take away from. So be aware of the loopholes and figure out what the percentage is of the total gross.
Okay, and that brings me to my final question. One more question, and I'll get off your show. If you had any state to choose from, is there one state over another that would be better to work out of or be based out of based on difficulty to operate?
That is a tough question. I would say that it depends on a lot of factors. Number one, if you're doing interstate work, now I'm based out of Orlando, Florida. My trucks are not based out of Orlando, Florida. I've got a team now that's based out of Des Moines, Iowa. I've got another truck coming on with me soon that's based out of Ohio. And so where you're based out of doesn't matter that much with this business, because you can travel to where the work is. Now, if you want to get the best discounts on things, the biggest cost right now is insurance. Of course, maintenance costs are big, but they're going to be the same no matter where you live. Fuel costs are big, right, but they're going to be the same no matter where you live. Insurance costs is one that does change drastically with where you live. And I will say that the highest states are the ones that have the no-fault insurance, because if you're in an accident with somebody that doesn't have, or uninsured motorist coverage, I'm sorry, if you're in an accident with somebody that does not have insurance, your insurance has to cover everything. So that gets expensive quick. So there are a lot of states with that. Also, the limits. I know Michigan recently passed a law where there is no limit on the, I believe it's the bodily injury coverage. So they're even more expensive, and their surcharges on top of their base rates. So every state is more difficult, but there's not necessarily a benefit to trying to move everything to that. I'll give you an example quick. I'm based out of Florida, which is one of the higher states because we have a lot of uninsured motorists here. Maine, the state of Maine, is extremely inexpensive, probably the cheapest. Maine, New Hampshire are the cheapest in the country for auto insurance. However, there is no income tax in the state of Florida. There, personal income tax, that is. In the state of Maine, it's 8.5% after 20,000. Now, here I am, I'm growing a fleet. So if I'm saving a few thousand dollars on insurance, how much more am I giving up in taxes? So you have to look at all the factors involved. Ultimately, okay, what I came up with is just do it where you live, or where you're domiciled, or where your business is. Just do it there. It's the easiest. It's the most cost-effective in the long run. Ultimately, your insurance rates and so forth will come down to a more reasonable rate as long as you keep a good safety record, your taxes. And there are certainly advantages to moving for tax purposes and, taking these things into account. But you have to look at the big picture and look at all angles before you decide. And like I said, the freight is everywhere. So look at what you want to do.
Okay.
Yeah, and so if you're here in Florida, reefer is probably more beneficial than a van, and so forth. I mean, you got to look at your market, where you are at. Now, my trucks don't run Florida, although I'm based here. I run vans because my trucks don't come back to Florida; they're based up north. So, all of those things are factors.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Steve, and thank you for the call. And I think you said your name wasn't Steve, so maybe my notes are wrong here. But thank you for calling. If that wasn't your name, I am sorry. I said I was going to wrap this up at 8 o'clock, but as usual, we always get those last-minute calls. And there are some others on the line. And tonight, I am going to have to cut them off. So if I don't get to you, I do apologize. Call us again next week. We will try to get you on the air. And remember, press 1 to join us early in the show, and we will get these calls on the air. I'm going to talk about just a couple more episodes that we had here quick, and that was, and I mentioned it, growing your fleet, adding owner-operators or company drivers, and making that decision was episode 19. Just last week, I talked about how the owner-operator model works and the contracts involved. And I'll also say that you should check out episode 20 if your business plan has anything to do with doing working across the border, going into Canada or back and forth, episode 20. And my friend Pedro Volker was from CUTC Inc. joined us, and she's a great resource, and she was a guest on that show on episode 20, and she's very knowledgeable, not just about crossing the border, but really about getting your own authority. Although she's based in Canada, she can help you here in the States as well. So I'll plug her one last time. Check us out on Facebook, Trucking with Authority, with a Facebook group and Facebook page. If you're listening to the recording, Tuesdays at 7 p.m., we record live. Number is 646-668-2277. Tomorrow at 7 p.m., Wednesday nights, every Wednesday night, Rates and Lanes with Rico Muhammad. Number of call is 347-677-1799. Rico's got a lot of great information to share. Fridays at 4 p.m., Destination Health with Kim, 347-324-3285. Learn how to eat right and exercise while you're out here on the road. And for all of your alignment and suspension and tire wear questions, Mike and Kevin Beckett on Rolling Toe. These guys are a whiz on this information about tire wear. They're just an encyclopedia of information when it comes to that topic. Sundays, 9 p.m., Sunday nights, 347-637-1067. Thank you all for joining me. This was episode 32. Thank you all for your support for all of this time. We will be on here again next Tuesday. And until then, drive safe, be profitable, and have a great night.